I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome my colleague Michael Pregent of the Hudson Institute, writing most recently at Newsweek about the JCPOA. That's the fancy name for the Iran deal of 2015. The Biden administration, we're told, is in informal conversation with the Islamic Republic of Iran to restore the JCPOA with caveats. However, because it's non-transparent, we need to do some assumptions before we can move on to the facts of the matter. Michael, a very good evening to you. And one of the assumptions is that there's advantage for the U.S. and advantage for Iran to reignite the Iran deal of 2015, which the Trump administration walked away from. You write trenchantly, the U.S. has all the leverage it will never have again right now. What leverage is that, and what are we doing with it? Good evening to you, Michael.
Thank you. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. Well, the leverage we have, and a lot of people don't like to admit it, especially in the Biden administration, is the leverage from the Trump-era maximum pressure campaign. Those sanctions are still in place. Those sanctions were more devastating on the regime than the international sanctions and U.S. sanctions combined in 2012, the sanctions touted by the Obama administration that brought the regime to the table on its knees, in quotations. We are there now. The issue we have today is Iran is down to its last $40 billion of expendable funds, of reserve cash on hand. It's never been that low. It is on life support. It needs an economic lifeline. The United States has all the leverage it will never have again. And the reason it needs to use that leverage now is because the JCPOA begins to expire in 2023. And continues to 2030. So in 9 short years, because this JCPOA was so weak, there will be no caps on Iran, there will be no restrictions, and the regime would be able to put a nuclear warhead on top of a ballistic missile and be in compliance with a deal that no longer exists. The deal was a bad deal in 2015, as I write. It's a worse deal now because it's more dangerous now. If the U.S. enters without demanding a relook at ballistic missiles, at the sunset clauses to deal with centrifuges and uranium production, it will simply re-enter a deal, and in the next couple of years, the deal will start to expire. Iran will be in a position of strength. It's in one that's very weak now, and it will continue to say no to the U.S. and continue to ask for more concessions and more giveaways. So now's the time to do it. And the Biden administration is ceding that leverage. Everything that it's messaging through Vienna is a concession, is a signal to Tehran. What it's doing with the region by lifting sanctions on the Houthis, denying offensive weapons capabilities to our Sunni regional allies, and what it's messaging to Israel actually prompted Israel to message back. And we had a recent cyber attack on the Natanz enrichment facility. And that will set back these talks, and I think that's a positive thing.
Let's break the JCPOA down into parts, as you do in your Newsweek. We have a suspect nuclear weapons program. Those are the sunset clauses that begin to expire in 2024. I'm following your reporting. But I'm interested in the other two parts as well. One has already expired. That's the arms embargo that expired in late 2020, and the other one is upcoming. The United Nations Security Council resolution on ballistic missile constraints. Are those part of the informal conversations? Do we know in the Vienna hotel?
Ballistic missiles are off the table. The arms embargo are off the table. Iran feels so empowered that the regime is asking for the United States to lift all sanctions, to include terrorist and human rights sanctions against the regime. Russia and China stand to benefit. They are standing by. They're waiting for the Biden administration to open up Iran's economy so that the regime can purchase offensive weapon capabilities from Russia and China. Russia and China are already securing those military contracts through gas and oil rights. This is actually upsetting some hardliners. They don't trust China. They don't trust Russia, but they're so desperate that they're looking towards these predatory lenders and partners in this deal. On the other side of it, again, is the U.S. with all of this leverage. And instead of talking directly with Iran, we're talking to our European allies that are still in the deal, still being cheated on, and they haven't put any sanctions on the regime. They haven't demanded that the regime comply. They basically look and say that everything is is on the shoulders of the United States because Trump walked away in 2018. And Russia and China are being touted as partners in this by the Biden administration. This is a bad deal for the region. This is a bad deal for the Iranian people. It's a bad deal for our European allies. But more importantly, it's a bad deal for U.S. Strength, for U.S. foreign policy projection, for U.S. national security, to give away all of this leverage and not even address, like you said, the arms embargo that expired on October 18th, 2020, and the ballistic missile restrictions expire in 2023. And one thing that is important also, in 2025, if the Biden administration simply jumps back into the Iran deal, our international partners will lose the ability to impose snapback sanctions on the regime because that will have also expired in 2025.
What's in it for Tehran? Do a what if for me, Michael. What if Tehran gets what it wants, which is the JCPOA reignited, even though it's in violation, open violation? What will Iran look like in the year 2025 with everything expired?
Okay, so if everything expires, we open up the economy, Tehran wants access to the U.S. dollar, the U.S. banking system. Without access to the U.S. dollar and the U.S. banking system, it cannot do much. If all of those things are lifted, and if they have access to the U.S. Banking system and the Biden administration promotes investment in Iran, by year 25, Iran will be a conventional military threat with a ballistic missile capability. It will be a military powerhouse when it comes to spreading the revolution, what they call Velayat al-Faqih. And at the end of the JCPOA, I'll just take it out to 2030, it'll be a conventional military and economic powerhouse that has not benefited the Iranian people, but the regime, a conventional military threat with a ballistic missile capability, and it will now have a nuclear capability as well, a weaponized military nuclear program.
So it will be the strongest military power in Central Asia. It will rival Moscow. Is that a fair generalization?
I wouldn't say that. I would say that it will be the strongest army in the Middle East, second to Israel's. And because of that, it'll make everyone around it worried about it. So that may be a positive byproduct of it, is that, you know, we're already seeing the countries in the region take their own actions to keep Iran from a nuclear weapon because they see weakness in Washington, D.C. They see a weak message coming out of Vienna, and it's making our allies in the region have to take care of themselves.
Your measure, Michael, your warning, but at the same time, the old metaphor, has the train left the station? Have the Biden people already decided they're going to do this? We have about a minute.
They don't have the political capital to do this. They cannot lift terrorist and human rights sanctions on Iran's central bank. The regime will not have access to the U.S. dollar. U.S. Treasury, even under Obama and Kerry, would not allow U.S. companies to do business with Iran, and they warned European companies that there would be ramifications if they did. There's a way to make this a treaty. If the Biden administration uses all the leverage that the Trump administration gave it to deal with Iran, we could get a treaty that Chuck Schumer, Menendez, Cardin, and Manchin could support.
So right now, you would say the Biden administration cannot go all the way to restore Tehran's power. But in order to limit Tehran, we need action by the Senate. Is that correct?
In order to keep this in place, one of the questions I constantly get asked by supporters of the JCPOA is, how can we get our adversaries and allies to trust us if we don't live up to our agreements? And my answer is, let's make it a treaty. The United States does not have to re-enter the JCPOA right now. Our European partners are in it. Russia and China are in it. Iran is in it. Our partners need to hold Iran accountable. Once Iran makes concessions and changes things, then the United States can start to think about lifting sanctions.
Michael Preachin, former intelligence officer. He specialized in Iranian terrorism. He's a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, writing at Newsweek. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.